Okay, you're going to introduce yourself.
My name is Kenneth Key. I am 68 years old. I've been HIV positive and diagnosed with AIDS for 36 years now.
And my name is Ellen, and I am 44 years old. Today is July 10th, and I'm speaking with Kenneth, and we're recording this interview in New York, New York at Durote. Hi, Kenneth. It's so nice to meet you today.
Same here. It's a pleasure meeting you both.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about your life history, and I'm very curious to know what you have to say about your personal history.
Where do I begin? How far back?
Where did you grow up? Where were you born?
I was born in the Bronx. I was raised in Queens, in Jamaica, Queens.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And when I left Jamaica, Queens, I moved to Jersey City, New Jersey. And now I'm living in Central Park West and 107th Street.
Great. What was your early childhood like for you?
Traumatic. Mm. Not a good relationship with my parents. I was a good kid, but they had their own issues. And I didn't know any of that. I thought they hated me. Mm. They, you know, I was not physically abused or anything like that. But we never had any conversations. They weren't helpful with schoolwork and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they fought a lot. They had a lot of arguments and a lot of drinking, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So it left me feeling like I had something to hide, like there was a scar on me that everybody could see. Mm-hmm. And when people used to look at me, I'd immediately look away, you know. It was low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I only know that now because I was told that by a psychiatrist when I was 38 years old.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any siblings?
I have a sister. She's in a nursing home at present, mm-hmm. Due to drug abuse.
Yeah. So at what point do you think you realized you were gay?
I think when I first started acting out, it was very, very light, but gay was not in my head. Mm-hmm. It was just happening, you know, that motivation to do that. I didn't know what gay was. And I had heard that it's not a good thing for a man, mm-hmm. especially a black man.
Yeah.
And I went along like that until actually, once I realized what I was doing, I kind of didn't accept it. Mm. I just kept doing it until I got 20 years old. And then I finally decided that, well, this is me, and now I need an education. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I went out and went crazy. all kinds of places, all kinds of people, all kinds of everything. And it was great fun. And eventually, I met someone that we became partners. Mm-hmm. And we lived together for 15 years until they died from AIDS. Mm-hmm. And about 4 years later, I met another individual, and we became partners. And he died in 2006 after 9 years of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm single and I'm living alone. My AIDS is undetectable and my health is generally good, mm-hmm. but my vision is going due to glaucoma. Mm.
So you would say, like, as a teenager, the awareness of feeling different was when that first realization came.
Yeah. There were a bunch of people in my neighborhood that we all went to elementary, middle school together, mm-hmm. and we stayed friends all along. But I was attracted to some of them, but I wouldn't go there. Mm-hmm. I wanted strangers or out of sight, you know, mm-hmm. anonymous.
Right. And so coming out process to coming out to friends? Did you eventually tell them? Are you still friends with any of them?
Yeah. The few that I told are still friends today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they told any of the others, but none of them have treated me any different since finding out.
Yeah. There's a lot of stigma around being gay and black in the black community, and a lot of pushback from people in the community.
Peers and friends.
Yeah,
and
so that can be a very hard process of coming out. And you've mentioned glaucoma, so when did you start experiencing vision loss, and how is that affecting you?
This process actually started about 17 years ago, and it's been very slow. I lost my right eye due to CMV. Are you familiar with CMV?
No.
Okay. It's called cytomegalovirus, and it comes along with HIV for some people. Also had it in my gut, which means didn't just digest food well and a lot of diarrhea. And the left eye has been going gradually, and now it's almost about at the end. I really had difficulty getting around. This is all new to me. I've been using the cane for a couple of years because I started using the cane when I had much better vision.
Right.
But I'm not a master at it.
Yeah. So you're still getting used to the process and using the cane and getting around.
And getting ready to go back for some more retraining.
Yeah. And you mentioned your HIV status. What, tell me more about that.
Well, I was diagnosed officially in 1986.
Wow.
And my partner and I had already been together for 6 years. He wanted to go into the military. And when he went for his physical, they rejected him and told him that you need to see a doctor. They didn't tell him why. So he went and saw a doctor, and he finally found out that he was positive. And he said to me, well, I don't know if I gave it to you or you gave it to me. And I said to him, what difference does it make? You know, we have to deal with it.
Yep.
So that's how that went. But eventually it took him. After 15 years.
Yeah. And now you said your viral load is undetectable?
Yes.
So you survived the AIDS crisis of the 80s.
I have.
And you...
Now, the funny thing is this. I told you about my relationship with my parents. And when I found out that I was positive, I was kind of, I won't say elated, but like, okay, this will take me out. And I won't have to deal with the rest of my life because I was severely depressed. And when I first saw a psychiatrist, I told him pretty much what I said to you, that I felt like my parents didn't like me and blah, blah, blah. They were not abusive physically. They didn't mistreat me, but there was no connection. They didn't help me with homework. We didn't conversate about anything. I didn't have a right to ask questions and all like that. And he explained to me that there's nothing wrong with you. You sat here very articulately and told me what you were feeling. He said, it's a story I've heard a million times, and if I stay here, I'll probably hear it a million more times of alcoholic parents.
Yep.
This is how they behave. And so, I was relieved to hear that, but it wasn't like a cure. I had to soak in. And then once it soaked in, I had to figure out how to, if I wanted to correct it or not.
Right.
But by that point, they were even worse than they were previously, so there was no correcting it.
Yeah.
Now they were at each other. And, I moved out from Queens when I was 26 years old and haven't been back since. I'm still in touch with them. My mother's in a nursing home now. My father's deceased. Mm-hmm. But I have an aunt, my mother's youngest sister, still surviving.
Yeah. Wow. And were you and your partner weren't married? It wasn't legal at the time.
The first partner, no. Mm-hmm. The second partner, we became domestic partners. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that was just for some legality. Mm-hmm. That's not like marriage.
Right. Yep. Yep. And when did you join SAGE?
In 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm. And what's your experience been connecting with people there?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. The group, the people are very open, mm-hmm. and forward, and they speak their minds and let me know that some of what I thought was crazy in my head, I don't know if it's crazy in their heads either, but it, I heard it from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So that gave me a little solace, you know?
Yeah.
And with this group of guys, we've become pretty close.
That's great. I find a lot in senior organizations, it's men have a very hard time connecting with each other, with the exception of gay men. Gay men can connect with each other on any subject, and it's quite amazing to watch, but there's something about straight men not wanting to come to senior centers, so I think SAGE has a really great connecting ability there, so it's a really nice organization.
It really is.
Yeah. So you made new friends by going there?
Yeah. But nobody to hang out with.
Hmm.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. What I get out of the group makes me feel better. And now my problem is I can't see the guys. Hmm. I can't see who's looking at me. I can't see what I'm looking at. And that means, how do I connect?
Right, right.
That's where I'm stuck.
Yeah. Have you done any programs at any of the visually impaired organizations, the
yes.
Visions or, yeah?
Visions.
Mm-hmm.
I started at the Lighthouse Guild,
mm-hmm.
which is now the, I started at the Jewish Guild for the Blind.
Right, which is now Lighthouse Guild.
Lighthouse Guild and Visions.
Yep. And did they help you with the technology and your phone and all of that stuff to get you connected to that?
They tried, but in my teens, I did a lot of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they say that you really shouldn't do it before 25.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started way younger than that. And I think now I'm feeling the deficit of some of the damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm still functional. I can still, you know, I don't absorb things as well as I used to, and mm-hmm. that's why I'm having the issues with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Even this phone is gonna make me crazy.
Yes, I think that's the plight of all of our phones is part of the problem there. And you mentioned resilience, and it seems like you seem like a very resilient person. Tell me what your stance is on that.
I started, after my partner died, I started support groups, HIV support groups.
Mm.
Not necessarily gay or straight, just HIV groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the first group that I ever went to, I was the only black person there, and there was only one woman there.
Mm.
And this woman had an issue with her father because he used to sell her to men.
Mm.
And she was kind of nervous, jumpy, edgy,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10 seconds away from jumping out the window.
Yeah.
And she said something about her father. I don't remember the exact statement she made, but it turned on a whole different light in my head,
mm-hmm.
about my father, because we didn't have any communication.
Right.
And that was just an indication that that's how groups work.
Yeah.
And this is good. So I stuck with it. At present, I'm in four groups. I'm a group junkie. I also thought that would be a good place to meet someone. Mm-hmm. Because when you get a little understanding of who they are and their sensitivities or not. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened. I've come close a couple of times. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, there can be a lot of vulnerabilities in group work, and yeah. That's...
I have no secrets.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes what you find out about other people can be encouraging, but so far it has not been successful. And mm-hmm. I'm still looking for another partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll keep our eyes peeled. So 50 years ago, you were 18.
Yeah.
And that is when Stonewall happened.
Yeah.
Do you have a recollection of the Stonewall riots or any of that?
No.
No.
Because I was in the closet.
Okay.
I was running around in the parks and other places.
Yep.
Not connecting with any other people except those people there. Mm. And most of that was just momentary and done, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. Is there any other part of your life you want to talk about?
Well, this dealing with this vision loss is it's been so gradual. I thought that was a good thing. Mm. But now I wonder, and even among the blind and visually impaired community, that's a conversation we have all the time. Mm-hmm. People that go blind are different than people that were born blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the people that were born blind never had to unlearn sight.
Yeah.
And my therapist at the Lighthouse Guild, I've been with her for 16 years, and she calls me her unofficial co-facilitator. I get overjoyed when people come in lost, crying, scared, nervous, shaking, and gradually they get real, get whole again. And that's I like that. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I try to work and help from my experience. I've been dealing with this for a long, long time. Put my input into the group. And that's how I got the nickname.
What's your nickname?
Unofficial co-facilitator.
Oh, unofficial co-facilitator, yes. It's a long nickname. Great.
But I've always been, I like being a good person, mm-hmm. maybe to cover up my guilt mm-hmm. for what I was doing, you know, but it has paid off for me.
How's it paid off?
I have peace of mind. Mm-hmm. I'm in a situation now that I didn't construct. It kind of happened, mm-hmm. which put me in a very good place to be in, even now. And I call it a blessing, although it cost me a partner.
Did you lose your second partner to HIV?
No, actually. It was colon cancer, but it wasn't connected to HIV.
No. Was he positive as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. His doctor told me that he didn't think for a while. He didn't think this guy was going to survive. He said he had the worst case of KS he'd ever seen, from the tip of his tongue to the tip of his butt. And he really didn't think he was going to survive, but he did.
So that sounds like a lot of loss that you've experienced in your life, to lose two partners like that.
There was another individual that we were dating. We hadn't become partners yet, but I lost him too. Mm-hmm.
And do you work on that in the groups? You talk about the loss and grief in some of your groups, or are your groups all vision related or HIV related?
Both. Oh. Both. And I talk about that in both.
Great. Unofficial facilitator.
Great. Co-facilitator.
Co-facilitator. Yeah. Co-facilitator. Excellent. Kenneth, when you're in the process of losing your vision, what was it like to start adjusting to the loss, both physically and in your environment and mentally?
It was very difficult. First, I lost my job. Mm-hmm. I was a bus driver, and I failed an eye test. Okay. And of course, I couldn't drive anymore. But I invested in the pension, and I got on disability and all that, so all that went well. And for a long time, I was still driving my own vehicle, mm-hmm. because the Transit Authority vehicle, DMV, is much more stringent than the regular DMV. Mm-hmm. And so all was well. And then I started having difficulty seeing driving at night. The cars coming in the opposite direction, headlights always looked like they were right in my lane, coming right at me. Mm. Nobody had to tell me to stop driving. I knew it was time for me to stop. And for many years, as it got a little worse, I panicked because I kept feeling like two things. Number one, remember I told you if I wanted to be taken out when I was told that I had HIV. Mm-hmm. That was going to be my solution.
Right.
With the vision, I got so anxious about it that I was depressed. I was in psychotherapy and on medication and all this, that, and the other. I felt like I was in a track, and at the end of the track was a steel wall, and I'm sitting in this, it's almost like a car, but with wheels on it, and it's racing towards this wall as fast as it can go, and I'm just holding on waiting for the impact. Mm. And that's what made me crazy. And then finally I realized that it had been so long and I had only progressed to such this point. I said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to lose my mind before I lose my vision. Mm. And fortunately, I took a yoga class down in Visions, and believe it or not, that workout kind of eased all the anxiety and stuff. Mm. So then I joined the gym and worked out in the gym, and I've been okay since. Right now I'm on anti-anxiety medication, mm-hmm. because the difficulty since my vision changed is awesome. Yeah. You never know what the next step is. The cane is helpful, but it can't see. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. people are helpful and other people can't see. I mean, you know, they're on the phones and talking and pushing strollers and this and that and the other. But I will say, I do get a lot of unsolicited help, mm-hmm. from people, mm-hmm. which is wonderful because I need it.
Yeah.
At coming here, I couldn't have got here without couple of strangers.
Right, getting you, directing you to the building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. There, we just took a class on helping people who are visually impaired and learned some tips and things about let them hold your elbow, don't grab anybody. There's some things that were very helpful.
There's something I just thought about that I had forgotten to mention, but at my worst of sickness, I was really, really convinced that this was the end. Mm. And I was laying in the hospital and covered in my own vomit and feces and ringing this bell and nobody's responding. And I said to myself, well, they said this would kill you. So be it. And I stopped fighting. I was in that hospital at that time for 24 days. And for the first 13 days, they couldn't give me any medication because they had to isolate the pathogen. Mm. When they did find out what it was, they treated it. 9 days later, they sent me home. And they said to me, if you develop a fever at any point, get back here. Then I got home and I went to lay down about 7:30 that evening, turned on the television. 11:30, I woke up soaking wet, bed soaking wet. And I said to myself, I could call downstairs and ask my mother to make some tea, try to break the fever. I could call 911 and get back to the hospital like they said. And I thought about it for a few seconds and I said, I'm taking 2 Tylenol and I'm going back to sleep. Mm. If I wake up in the morning, fine. If mm-hmm. I don't, fine. I've been getting better ever since.
Wow. That's great. That is a story of resilience, definitely. So.
It took a while.
Yeah. It's a long process.
Yeah.
So, great. I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you, Kenneth, for coming to DeRoute and telling us your story.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. DeRoute has, I have spoken to someone that offered me some training on the iPad.
Hmm.
But before we got to it, I had another vision change. Now, at this stage, the vision changes are coming very fast,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
not slow like they were before.
Mm-hmm.
So I really haven't touched the iPad in quite a while, and I need to do that, but this is not the time right now.
Okay.
I'm stressed out right now.
Okay. Well, we'll all talk to that department and we'll figure that out then. Great.
Great.
Thanks for coming in. We're gonna end that.
Okay. It's been